Lord Jesus. All righty. If you will, this morning, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 49. One verse. Chapter 24 and verse 49. Last chapter in the book. Alrighty. This right here is speaking about the Lord Jesus. And he's speaking about the commission to the evangelism. To the evangelism and also the ascension of Jesus Christ. But here it says in chapter 24 in the book of St. Luke, in verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. You know, right here we see where really speaking about, he's speaking about the church. Speaking about Peter and John, and no doubt it was some things that the church was doing that it was saddening to them. They were saddened about what the church was doing. The church had just went by its side and wasn't doing anything anymore. They quit the singing, they quit the praying, they quit everything, and they just come into church. That's like church yesterday. That's what a whole lot of people, a whole lot of Christians do today. They just go to church and that's it. They don't go to church for no blessings. They don't go to church to give out blessings to the Lord. Now we can go to church and we can bless somebody else. But as we bless somebody else, that right there also blesses the Lord Jesus. But here we're speaking of the early church and how great the early church was. Y'all know how the early church was? You know how it came about? It came about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is and he was the church. But now we are saved by his marvelous grace, and we are the body of the church. We are the body. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do has an effect on him. And it also has a double fold effect on us. So we must watch in what we do. We must watch that when we come through them doors, we must have one thing and one thing on our mind. And that's coming through them doors, coming in, where you're sitting or what around, or just lifting your hand and praising the Lord. But you must have one thing on your mind, and that's come in to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't come in to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then what are we doing here this morning? If I didn't come here this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and tell Him how much I love Him, and how much He has done for me, what should I expect from Him if I don't do my job? If I don't do my portion, should I expect Him to do anything for my life? Should I expect Him to take my life and bless me in a way that I know exactly where my blessings are coming from? You know, sometimes the Lord blesses us just to be blessing us. Sometimes we have been blessed by the Lord and we didn't deserve the blessing. But that's how He is. First of all, we need to bless Him. How do you bless Him? You bless Him by what we endure. We bless Him in the places that we go. We bless Him with our lips. We bless Him with our heart. And we also will bring a blessing to Him with our mind. Because it says over, I believe it's in the book of Peter, it speaks about that we must have the same mind as Christ. That's not saying that He's saying we're supposed to have the same mind as Christ, that we become perfect. I am not perfect. I will not be perfect until He takes me out of this sin-cursed world and where my feet will land there in heaven. That's when then somebody can say, well, He's matured enough and He's perfect enough to come home. Perfect. Mature. You don't have many perfect people out here. You don't have many mature people out here anymore. People have got, back in the 70s, and then it started with late 70s, and then it got in, went into the 80s, and then it went on to the 90s, and then the 90s it kind of faded away. But this easy believism. People today, they've got it so in the mind that it's easy to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy, anything about it. Because if we want to think about it now, you know, some things that we do that we're not going to want to do anymore. So the people today, the reason they are getting on this easy believism is because they think that they can come to the Lord anytime they want to. If they're in a wreck, they can come to the Lord and ask the Lord to save their soul. If they are among somebody and they see something happen where somebody gets shot or something like that, then they say, Lord, save my soul. It doesn't work that way. You have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit of God unto Jesus. And there's a whole lot of individuals I hear is missing out. They're missing out on more things than they think that we have to offer them. But the only thing I have to offer them is Jesus. And the only thing that Jesus has to offer them is salvation, the greatest miracle of all. And then what the Father has to offer them, the Father has to offer them a way to come home. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the Trinity of God, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, it's not but one part of the Trinity that can look down upon me, can look down upon you, and see no sin. And he will turn around and he will say to the Son, he says, Son, what sin are you talking about? I see no sin. Only thing I see, Son, is your shed blood that was shed at Calvary for them. They was concerned. Are we concerned this morning? Are we concerned about family members? Are we concerned about the friends that we've made over the years? Are we concerned about our co-workers? Or we're just concerned in general? Are you concerned about the church? Are you concerned enough about this church and about all the labor and all the love that's went through this sanctuary and these people and the people before us and everything? Are we that concerned about it to where we just pray and we just ask the Lord, say, Lord, you know my next door neighbor, they don't go to church. I don't even know if they're saved or not. But Lord, would you release the Holy Spirit upon them? That the Holy Spirit can lead them to church where they preach the Word of God, where they don't just preach something haphazard and everything, but they need to preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Are we that concerned for them? Are we just going to let them say, well, Lord, we'll leave it up to you now? He did not leave heaven. He did not leave heaven, and he was not born of a virgin. For him to do the work. He done his work while he was here on earth. Yeah, and he had the 12 disciples that he had the ones that sat down with him at supper time. And they took of the food and they ate with the Lord Jesus Christ. They ate with him. And they talked to him and spoke to him. Then I believe it was Peter said to the Lord, said, Lord, can I go? Lord said, Peter, you can't go where I go. But I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you, Peter. But you can't go now. Peter, you got a job to do. Now you got to get busy with it. As soon as he was crucified, as soon as he was hanging on the cross, and he looked down and he told John, take care of our mother, Mary. And no doubt he did. No doubt he did exactly what the Lord Jesus asked him to do. And then, while he was still hanging there, there's going around. The soldiers were going around, beating the other two malefactors that was on the cross. And one of them says, if you the Lord, or if you the Christ that you say you are, you come down. And he come down for him. Why didn't he? He was arrogant. He won't come down for that man. Because that man did not even ask for any kind of blessing. Did not even ask him to remember me when you come into your paradise. Remember me. And the other malefactor was on the other side of him. And he says, look unto me. He looked at that malefactor, the other prisoner there that was on the cross. He looked there and he asked him. He said, Lord, when you come into your paradise, please remember me. See, he didn't have to wait for the Lord to get into his paradise. He didn't have to wait until he got to heaven. As soon as he went and asked the Lord to remember him, the Lord saved him. I believe the Lord just saved him right there. Because, see, now, I know I'll have some, I hope I don't have no discussion to him about it, but, you know, I know I've had some people that said, well, you wrong about that and everything. I said, well, if I'm wrong, you know, I'm going to have to answer to God for it. I said, but to me it sounds good. And I said, what's your thinking on that? They'll come up with their little educated guess. I said, how did you come up with that? Well, it's simple. I mean, that's what the Word of God says. I said, what did I say to you? The same thing, that's what the Word of God said with me. It's the Holy Spirit that comes in and convicts an individual soul. It's the Holy Spirit that comes in and is speaking to his heart that he will go to Jesus. And ask Jesus to come into his heart and to save his soul, because it wasn't nothing else that he could do. He tried everything, but now he's so low that he can't even bend his knees to get up on them. He is so low. It's the Holy Spirit that introduces us to Jesus. Now, before the Holy Spirit introduced us to Jesus, I'm with the understanding that, and I believe this, that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit picked me out that day at Brush Arbor, that Sunday morning, picked me out of the crowd of people, I was on this side, sitting probably maybe a couple rows behind
Sister Nancy there. On this side. And I'll tell you one thing. One of the greatest preachers that I ever heard in my life. He was a missionary. Missionary named Rodriguez. He was a tall man. He was a big, healthy man. So I basically felt like if he spoke to me, he mean business. And I need to go on and do the business he wanted me to do. But I didn't. I didn't right then. But I'll tell you one thing, he had the longest finger. He had the longest finger I've seen in my life. I mean, that finger. I mean, have y'all seen what's that individual on TV where he talks and everything, and that thing, his nose starts growing?
Pinocchio.
That's what I thought he was. I thought he was Pinocchio, but he wasn't using his nose. He was using his finger, and he just pointed. He just pointed his finger right there, which he could have hit anybody. Holy Spirit was in that finger. And the Holy Spirit led that finger down to the pew. Then it crossed over some other people. Then he came over and touched my heart. I believe this. I didn't say yes to Jesus that day. But the Monday afternoon that they came on visitation, they came and they just flat out told me, "Do you believe in heaven or hell?" I said, "Yeah, I believe in heaven. Believe that there's a hell too." They said, "Well, you want to continue on going the way that you've been going?" I said, "Well," I said, "no, not really." I said, "But you know, after yesterday at church, you know, I heard the message and everything. And old Pinocchio up there, he got his finger out and his finger just, it grew and it longer and longer and longer and longer until it hit me." And when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, and was teaching me what I needed to do, I believe right then is when I got saved. Now, you know, you can believe it any other way you want to. That's fine. I'm not going to argue nobody with it. But I'll tell you this. If the Holy Spirit convicts your heart in such a way that what it will do will draw you to Jesus and to ask Jesus to save your soul and to come into your heart and help you to live the Christian life, help you to live for Him. For that to happen, don't you think the Holy Spirit had a whole lot to say about that? Yeah, because when the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart that Sunday morning, I mean, it didn't quit. I mean, it was Sunday afternoon. And I didn't go back to church Sunday night. But Monday afternoon, three men from your church come. And they visited me. And they told me about Jesus. And they told me about the Holy Spirit. And they told me about God. They told me about the Trinity. That I must serve the Trinity in the way the Trinity is to be served. Back then, when it was a great church,
And back then, when had all the disciples and everybody, and all the people was just, they were just going to Jesus where he come about and where he would go from city to city. Just like when he went to Zacchaeus, when he went through there in Jericho, and when he went through there and he went to Zacchaeus, he didn't make it in 5 minutes. He didn't make it in 10. It probably took him over half a day to get from where he was at to get up to that tree. And that tree won't get far. But see, the people was thrown. The people was throwing themselves all over. They wanted to touch the hem of his garment. They just wanted to touch him. Why? So they could say that they've touched the master. They've seen the master. And a whole lot of people seen the master. Even the individual that was sitting at the door, at the gate and everything, sitting there collecting money, had his little bucket there. That's the only way he could collect any money for his family. Was outside the gate. Because he had a family he had to take care of. And he went there every morning. And it doesn't say how long he stayed there. But I will say this. He stayed a long time. But he was faithful. He was faithful to his family. Because he wanted his family to be able to eat a decent meal. He wanted his family to have some water or something to quench his thirst. He was faithful to that. But then Jesus was coming by him. Well, see, Jesus couldn't see him. Or don't say this on him. But the only thing that happened was that this blind beggar had been blind probably all of his life, I don't know. But he knew what he had to do for his family. What do we have to do for our family members? Ain't we supposed to look after them? Ain't we supposed to take care of them? I believe we are. Not only that, I believe we're obligated. And that obligation comes out of accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior. I believe that I am obligated to my family to let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm obligated to tell them the truth. And I'm obligated to them to walk in the truth. I'm not going to say I'm obligated to them to the point that, well, they can come out there, they can see me one day and I can get so mad. I mean, and he says himself as a Christian and he get mad and hollering and all that damn thing. No. And don't get me wrong. I have got mad before. Now, if y'all, and I hope y'all never have to see me get mad. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're ever around and somebody comes in
and attacks my wife. Says something about my wife or says something to my about my daughter. Then I have already went to God and asked him. Say, Lord, I'm going to just set everything that I have been doing for you aside. But they have attacked it. They attacked my family. They attacked my wife and my daughter. And Lord, and I really don't think that you mean for that to happen. But you know how people are. Yeah. People's told me, so, well, Jesus never got angry. He's supposed to be Christ-like. He never got angry. He never did get mad. They ain't read the Word of God yet. They ain't read the Word of God. Because over there where Jesus went into the synagogue or the temple or what it was then, he went in now, and they had tables set up. And they was casting lots among themselves. Other words, they were selling garments for money. In church, in his synagogue. They doing that? They still doing that today. They still doing it today. And they don't have no more shame today than they did back then. Jesus didn't come in and say a word. He didn't say a word to them. He didn't say a word to them. He went over. He seen that empty table right there. And he took the chairs, and he took it through the chairs halfway across the room, and took the table, and turned the table upside down. Do you think he went and grabbed the whole big table? What kind of a place? Then the little lady didn't really. No. He got angry. He was angry for what? Why was he angry? For the way the people was treated. His house. We have the same thing today. How many people and what they're treating the house of God like it's just another building. It's just like their outbuilding or whatever. You can't treat God that way in your Bible. You can't treat God in your Bible. I had a man call me here the other, well, last week, I believe it was. And he said he was with Wonders. And what he wanted me to do the work, but he wanted me to log in and for him to tell me what I need to do to find some viruses or whatever. And I know just by 90% of his software out here has got a virus on them. And he said that what you need to do, you need to get you a good virus protection. And it may cost you a little money. Now, I can give you some options, and I can give you the name of some that they're free downloads. Yeah. I told him, I said, yeah, it's free. And it's a free download. All I got to do is get up and click it, and it downloads. Then I come back. And after I installed it and everything, and I got to checking it out and everything, you got 10 or 15 options that were checked. I says, but
I can't get but two that will, when I log on, that will check anything. And I go check on the next verse, and another window pops up. And it's talking about purchasing the full virgin. Purchasing the complete software. I reckon so. They wanted me to load down the viruses that they put in there. Or somebody's put in there. But I said, no, I said, I ain't going to do that. I says, you know, every computer in the world, everybody has viruses. They come about if you do any kind of work at all on it. Anytime you hit a key on a keyboard, you better watch out. A virus can come up without you knowing anything at all about it. Then the next thing you know, the computer will shut down. Then you ain't got no more computer until you go in there and wipe everything out and clean it back to factory use. I said, but you know something? There's one computer that is available. That is available to you, which I know that you don't do them to scam people. And I told him that. And I says, that one computer for me don't cost me a dime. It hasn't cost anybody one dime. But that's the only computer that has everything on it. But in saying all of that, you will never get a virus. You'll never get a virus. It's virus protection. He said, well, who is that? He said, what kind of computer is that? He said, is it a Dale? I said, no. He said, how about a Hewlett Packard? I said, no, sir. Show him. He says, is it one of these others right here? The Ace computer and all the other computers that they got here? Is it one of them? I know you've got to know the name of the computer because you told me about it. I said, sir, I want to ask you something. Now, if I reveal the name of the computer to you, if I reveal it to you, would you accept it? And would you work with that computer? He said, yes, sir. I said, will you share that computer with your family members? Will you share it with your coworkers there where you're at? And I know where you're at. You're in Indonesia. I said, but you know something? But they need that computer too. He said, well, you got to tell me how much it costs me and everything. I said, it won't cost you a dime. It will not cost you one red cent. I says, he going to give you the computer. And it has more power. It has more RAM. It has more hard drive. It has more than anything that anybody else has ever got, ever thought about getting. HP ain't never seen a computer like this, how much hard drive it's got, and how much RAM it has.
Dale ain't never seen one like his one either. Dale can't make one like this either. Hewitt Packard can't either. Well, he said, well, what kind is it? I want it. He said, can you give me the phone number to the company? I said, yes, sir, sure can. I said, I'll give you the phone number to the company. I said, but you know something? But you don't have to use a phone. You don't have to use no cell phone. Because it's not no long distance call. And all you have to do is just speak it. And they will hear you. They will hear you. They will hear you and what your name is. They will hear you and what your address is. They will hear you and what and which computer that you want. He said, well, I understand all that. He said, I don't have a problem understanding all that. I said, you don't? He said, no. He says, please, would you give me the name of that computer? Because really, I mean, I'm going to share it with my boss man's down here. I'm going to share it with the owner. And I'm going to share it with everybody. I mean, because everybody needs that type of computer. I said, you're right, they do. And I says, and they will not get no substitute for it. They will all get the same computer, the same one. He said, well, man, tell me what kind of computer it is. And where do I get it at? I said, first of all, I says, you have to do one or two things. And he said, what's that? I says, first of all, you have got to open your heart and allow somebody to speak to your heart. Well, who's this individual? I have to let them speak to my heart and everything because I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I want to order and everything. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, all you have to do is open your heart. And you dial 0 to operator. And when you dial the operator, they will give you the connection. The Holy Spirit. Connection of what? I said, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He said, okay, I knew that. He said, I've got it written down. He said, which one's the fastest I can do? Which one's the fastest I can go out and get? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? I said, either one don't make a difference. I said, but can't stop that. You didn't get but just a partial of the request. You didn't get partial of the phone number. He said, then, I said, then what you need to do is you need to call on, and when you're calling now, you will call 1-800 Jesus. 1-800-JESUS. He said, are you kidding? I said, no, sir. I'm not kidding at all. He said, that's a phone number? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I have what you are. Yes, sir. That's it. That's a phone number. That's the only thing you need. It's 1-800-JESUS. S or J-E-S. And I says, that's all you need. He said, I don't need no more numbers. I don't need no extensions. I said, no, you don't need no extensions to it. You don't need no extensions. He said, well, can I dial it now? I said, well, no, I'm not quite ready yet.
I says, there's one other thing you got to do. He says, what's that? You've got to believe. Can you believe? See, because when you dial in the number, 1-800-JESUS, you're going to get Jesus on the phone. And then he's going to give you another number. And that number is the Father. The Father. You mean I've got to go and ask my daddy to purchase this computer for me? I said, no, you don't. You don't have to purchase anything. You just have to believe. He said, well, what I got to do to believe and all that? He said, the only thing else you need to do is you need to tell the Father that you believe. You believe in what the Holy Ghost done. And you believe in what Jesus done for me. And you believe also that you don't see no sin on me if I just come and believe and accept you. He says, now, can I call this 800 number? I said, yeah, you call it. I said, but now, when you call it now, you may get a busy signal. Because I don't know where it's going to lead you to. I said, but you know something? I've always had the understanding when you're talking to the Holy Ghost and when you're talking to Jesus and when you're talking to the Father, I've always had the understanding that I had a direct line. I didn't have to pick up a phone. I didn't have to pick up anything. I didn't have to put no change in the receiver or nothing like that for me to make a phone call. I said, no, you ain't got to do none of that. It ain't going to cost you a dime. I said, it's free. He says, free. I said, yes, sir, it's free. He said, how is it free? Tell me that. I said, because, see, the Holy Ghost will tell you about Jesus, let you know that Jesus went to the cross, and let you know that Jesus hung on the cross, and let you also know that Jesus died for you and for me and for all the other employees that you have there that you work with, for all the other people that we come in contact with. For all the people that is around this world, every last one of them, he died for everyone. And he said, you know,
he said, I've never heard it, and I've had people talk to me about church, talk to me about God before and everything, on the phone. He said, but you know something? But I've never heard it the way you just explained it to me. He said, because I'm in computer business. I repair computers. I said, yeah, but you also damage computers too. You don't need to do that no more. If you get saved, then the Lord will lead you to a place where you don't have to do anything underhanded to people to get ahead in this world. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Now, Father, we ask God that you may just go with us this afternoon. And Father, for the next few days, Lord, we just ask us, Father, that you will reveal to us. And some of the things that we did not even try to get done in 2018. But Father, now I'm depending on you. And that's all I could ever do before anyhow. But I'm depending 100% on you to reveal to me and to reveal to each individual that is here that in 2019, and starting out the new year of 2019, that you will give us a new desire, a new concern, a new accomplishment, something that is new that we've never done before. And yes, Father, like there over in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 23, it speaks about Joseph, where he knelt on his knees. He wanted to get back to God. Help us, Father, that we will not forsake you any longer. We will not forsake the prayers that we need to have with you daily. Like Daniel had prayer morning, noon, and night, three times a day. But even in the times that he went on his knees praying, he was still thinking about the prayer that he had already placed upon you that day. So, Father, help us that we may keep a mind of prayer. And Father, I pray that 2019 is going to be the best year that we've had. Father, where people are going to come in, are they going to just join us? But then when the invitation comes, Father, that the people will just step out and come to an old-fashioned altar and give up everything that they have and everything that they have within their mind that's clouding them from the truth, Father. Lord, help us all, Father, that we may serve you better. Father, yes, I'd love to see some souls saved. I'd love to see this church grow. I would love to see some people come in. And as the word of God is being preached, that they will be drawn unto the Savior. Yes, Father, because you know, since I've been here, Father, we haven't used the baptistry one time. Father, I want to forget about that part. I want to forget about the past. Now I'm looking for the future. I'm looking for the present right now at this very moment. And I'm looking at tomorrow. I'm looking at next week. But I'm looking for you to do something. And Father, when you do, that we will not get a swelled head. That we just would say, we knew he was going to do it. We just didn't know when. I don't want to get a swelled head, Father. I just want my heart to be swelled. I want my teardrops, my tear ducts, to be full of tears that you speak about in the Word of God. And Father, I want my mind to be as your mind. And if I do that, Father,
then I know that I'm doing the right thing. I know I'll never be perfect on this side of eternity. But at least I am maturing a little bit in His Word and in Your Word, Father. Oh, Lord God, I pray. Father, I'm looking for something unexpected. I'm looking for something that is real. I'm looking for something that the Holy Ghost could come in and get in each and every one of us, that we can come in and we can worship You in spirit and in truth. And as we do, it will draw the people in. Oh, Father God, I pray that You'll draw them in. For I pray, Father God, that You'll help me, Father, that I will stay in the Word of God, that I will stay with the right book. And Father, we do thank You. I thank You for each one of the individuals that's here this morning. They didn't have to come. They could have went somewhere. But I sure am glad that they did come this way. I'm expecting 2019 to be a great year for Faith Baptist Church. We just need to have it on our mind and on our hearts. Yes, they are lost people within our own families, with the employees that we work with the friends that we hang around with everything else expected. Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that if we'll expect something great from the throne room of heaven and with the power through prayer, anything and everything is possible when we trust You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.